You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
It's 9 o'clock in Chicago, and you're listening to Relevant Radio AM 950. This is Catholic Community of Faith, brought to you by the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Wayne Magyars. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning. Happy New Year. We haven't worked together since the
since the New Year term. I think you can say Happy New Year for the whole month of January,
I think,
right? Most people quit like the day after New Year's
February
Day.
February 1st, it becomes passé.
A little passé. Yeah. But we're all rejoicing in the news that the late Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, is going to be beatified on May 1st.
Yes, May 1st. Big news out of Rome. Great news, great news.
Fast-tracking.
First miracle verified and approved by Pope Benedict yesterday, I believe.
And I can't wait to ask Cardinal George what it feels like to have been close to and have had many conversations with someone who is going to be a saint.
I understand someone else in the room this morning also was with the soon-to-be saint for about 2 minutes. And got a little too close, and his hand was slapped.
We're not telling that story. We don't want the Secret Service to come back. No. Yeah, I had a very brief encounter with him, but the cardinal, I mean, he knew the man. And that's got to be awe-inspiring to think back and say, you know, I was often in the presence of a person who was always in touch with the Lord. So this is the month of January, which is a very important month.
And speaking of being in the presence of potential saints.
Potential saints. Well, we're getting to that
for a transition.
Yeah. In this month of January, we've got two very important people here in the office who run our Respect Life office and help to bring the cause of the unborn, and not just the unborn, but of all of life, to the consciousness of those of us here in the Archdiocese. We are going to be talking with Margie Mansko-Breen, who is the newly appointed director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese, and her colleague, Emily Warpinski, who is the Young Adult Outreach Coordinator for that same office. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. It's
good
to be here.
Congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you.
One week on the job, officially.
Well, almost two.
Two.
Oh. Almost two.
Okay. And 6 months of acting as the director.
Yeah.
An award-winning role.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I guess I'll get an Emmy soon or something like that.
Something of
Oscar.
That effect. Well, tell us, January is always a prominent month in the work that you do because there's a number of significant events that occur during this month. Tell us about some of them.
Well, I mean, sadly, it is something that is important for us. It's a tragic month. You know, we on January 22nd, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court made some big decisions, and they were not good for us as Catholics and for the unborn. And that legalized abortion on demand through all 9 months of a pregnancy for basically any reason. So, you know, we're living with that. So it's the 38th anniversary of Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton. Those are the two decisions. So really, you know, as we want to be positive and we want to celebrate life, but it's also a solemn time. And so tomorrow, Cardinal George will be celebrating a mass of in solemn remembrance of this decision. And it will be at St. Mary of the Angels at 5 p.m. So everyone is welcome to come and to remember and to pray that our culture become one that respects life.
I would say refresh my memory, but frankly, I don't think I've ever heard of Doe versus Bolton.
Well,
was that case?
They're basically, I'm no lawyer, so or a constitutional lawyer, but basically those open the door that the two together, you know, open the door to abortion on demand. So, I mean, if people really want to get into the details, they can, you know, and look that up. But it just said for any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy.
This year, in particular, Margie, this solemn remembrance of what Roe versus Wade has done is particularly noteworthy, because the two-decade decline, really, in national abortion rates in the U.S. really came to an end in 2008. Talk about those.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's pretty simple. You look at the recession came in, right? People were starting to lose jobs. It was getting crazy. Their 401ks were taking hits and all that. And so more people were deciding on abortion because they were afraid, I can't have another mouth to feed. You know, we already have three kids or whatever, a fourth, you know, we just can't handle it. And so abortions did go up slightly.
Are there any statistics that would indicate that the increase in abortions was due to, say, married couples with kids who didn't want to face another one? Is there any way of knowing whether it was teenagers as opposed to people who might have been more directly impacted by the economy?
Yeah, the Guttmacher Institute, it's kind of a funny word, but Guttmacher, I think it's Guttmacher Institute, and if you just Google them, you can find all their research and their statistics. They're the research arm of Planned Parenthood, so they're pretty accurate, their statistics, and pretty unbiased if you look at it. They do take the Planned Parenthood angle, but they are very, very honest, I believe.
Emily, your role as a young adult outreach coordinator, I would imagine a lot of it focuses on education, especially in trying to reach young adults who may get into trouble, who may find themselves, young women who may find themselves pregnant, and even before that, educating them on all the respect life issues. Talk about some of the things that you do.
Right. I work a lot with the college students in the area, my main thing is to try to educate them on the sanctity of life issues and why the dignity of the human person is important. A lot of these kids don't get that message. They've never heard that before. So, they're at these colleges with these professors who are feeding them these ideas, and they've never heard like a counter argument to that message that they've been getting at school. So it's so important to educate Catholics, whether they're college students or young adults, about the sanctity of life issues that we believe in.
You know, I'm guessing that you're dealing with the front line by dealing with young adults. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I would be guessing that perhaps the highest percentage of abortions might be occurring within that age group of the, late teens and early 20s.
Yeah.
Do you find that message well received? Is it welcome? Is it resisted? What kind of reaction do you get? I'm kind of surprised to hear you say that it's something that these young people have not heard before.
I guess the reaction is kind of mixed. We had a speaker at IIT in November, and probably had about 50 kids there, and I'd say half of them were pro-life and half of them were very ardently pro-choice, which I'm glad that they went and listened to this pro-life speaker. But the debate and the Q&A session we had afterwards was kind of crazy. And they're just so hard-nosed with their pro-choice stance. It's so disheartening to see that. But part of it is ignorance. I don't think they know any better. They weren't taught any better. And that's like my job at the Archdiocese, to spread the word.
I'm struck by the words you used, very ardently pro-choice, and some were pro-life. And I'm struck because we hear that a lot, that young people, especially college age, if they're pro-choice, they're strong pro-choice. They're vocal pro-choice. They're out in front. They're taking a lead. They're trying to influence others. Yet the pro-life college students, or pro-life young adults, shall we say, if they are, they're quiet about it. They're not advocates for the cause. Why?
Being pro-life isn't popular. And being on college campuses, it's all about fitting in and being popular and getting along with everybody. And so to stir the pot like that is difficult for a lot of people. And a lot of people aren't educated enough or comfortable enough to say, I'm pro-life, this is why. Yeah, so that's a big part of educating people.
It's very countercultural. And I would suspect that the reason you got 50 kids and half are pro-life and half are pro-abortion is because that group came specifically to argue back.
Oh, yes, they did. And they
didn't come to hear
yeah.
what the speaker had to say.
Right.
They came possibly to rebut what the speaker was saying.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
But I really think, you know, there's a lot of inroads that we're making on college campuses and with young adults. Just the other day, I was kind of coaching a young woman, a young Catholic, on how to help her friend who is in a crisis pregnancy. It's not that she doesn't have the money to do it and, you know, to make it through and to choose life. It's more, I don't like the adoption thing, you know, and I don't want to see my child without a father. You know, it's kind of, she's not really for abortion, but she feels like this is her only choice. So I'm coaching this young woman. When I say young, I'm saying like 30. So we're not talking about an 18-year-old, and what to say. And, you know, she's kind of like, well, I'm torn, you know, should I be there for her? Should I take her to the abortion clinic if she wants to do it? And we talked, you know, I said, you can't take this back. So, I mean, really, I think just mentoring a person, you know, is a key, one-on-one relationships. And if you could do that, you know, it's easier than just the big room full of people.
Yeah. We need to move to a break. We'll be back in just a moment and continue this conversation about pro-life and the efforts of our Respect Life office to defend life. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk with Cardinal Francis George about the great work being done with money raised in the annual Catholic Appeal. You'll hear from parents who are happy they made the decision to send their children to Catholic schools. And we'll take you to the annual Hispanic Catholic celebrations of the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe and La Posada.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Wayne Magyars and Graziano Marcheschi with you. Margie Mansko-Breen, who is the officially newly appointed director of the Archdiocese of Chicago Respect Life Office, is our guest, and Emily Warpinski, the Young Adult Outreach Coordinator for the Respect Life Office. If you've got any comments or questions, our telephone number 312-255-8408.
Margie, picking up on what you were saying earlier, this is going to sound stark and brutal, but my brain just can't wrap itself around the compassion that a young woman seems to be exhibiting when she says, oh, you know, adoption doesn't make sense. You know, I couldn't let go of my baby. And so somehow they can convince themselves to kill that baby. Is it that they don't understand that it's a killing? How do those two things go together?
You know, I don't know if I can even wrap my brain around it. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. And I think there's something going on in our society that, you know, it's like twisted logic or something where, you know, here's something that is a stressful situation and you can easily just like wipe it under, you know, sweep it under the rug and hide it and then move on with your life. I think it's an inconvenience to carry a child maybe for 9 months if you are a businesswoman, you know, a lawyer, you know, a busy person, very successful, and then to then, you know, you're sort of a failure because you gave up your child. And that's why in adoption agencies, they don't use the term give up. Place your child in a loving home. Yeah. You know, there's words you choose to, you know, psychologically or emotionally reach the woman and unblock her from that thing of give up. That, you know, because giving up does sound like you failed, right?
Yeah.
You know, I gave up.
And I would imagine the approach you use and what's going through the woman's mind at a particular time is very different if they're in their first or second month or if they're in their fifth or sixth or seventh month.
Yeah, I mean, if this is just a few weeks into it, they think, well, it's, you know, maybe it just is a blob of tissues. I can take this RU486 pill and have the abortion at home. And it's like, well, that's a no-brainer, right? You know, it's easy. But then as you... But it really isn't, because I could tell you tons of stories about women who did do that home abortion thing with the pill, and it was very painful, and they remember it because of the painful experience. And you're all alone, too, at home. But then you have maybe into the second trimester, you look at an ultrasound, you're seeing a baby. I mean, you could see everything. I mean, you could see everything at 11 or 10 weeks. You could see the little feet, you know, the little hands.
Emily, to what extent, when you're working with young women in addressing pro-life issues, to what extent does family play a part? Because, you know, it's easy for vocal critics of young adults who are pro-choice to say, well, where are the parents? How come the parents haven't influenced that young woman to stay on the right path, especially if those parents or the family is Catholic? How do you see that playing into the influence and the position of the young adults that you deal with?
Well, like a lot of times these college students are away from home for the first time and, you know, might not make the best decisions. And so it's hard. I mean, and the two main reasons for anybody having an abortion are lack of resources and lack of support. And that would be support from, you know, the boyfriend, the husband, the family, parents, friends, whoever. And so that is a big concern for a lot of these young women who are, you know, contemplating abortion. They just don't have the support to make the right choice.
Emily, in speaking with young adults, is there any presentation, I don't want to call it an argument, but is there anything that you have said that you have found especially effective that just seems to penetrate through the defenses and touch a young person's heart and make them reconsider this issue?
Well, I mean, we have the truth on our side, so that's definitely helpful. But everyone kind of is in a different situation and comes from a different background. So I wish to say there was like, one thing that I can say that changes everyone's mind. It doesn't. Different people need to hear different things. And, you know, they might need to hear it over and over again. And they have to pray about it. And, you know, we just try to present them, like I said, with the truth and encourage them to seek out the truth themselves.
Is there a correlation, or have you seen a correlation between those young women who are more pro-choice, less pro-choice, and their attendance at Mass and their ability to say that they're faithful Catholics, that they are tied closer to the church? Because in thinking through some of the things that you're saying, I would imagine that the answer to that question might be no, that there is no correlation. Just because a young woman is a more frequent churchgoer, that they're less or more likely to make a bad decision and or even take a position or think through or question the pro-life stance. Is that true or not?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any correlation. But I know, like, sometimes you might think of someone who is a good Catholic that might go get an abortion because she doesn't want anybody to know that she was pregnant in the first place.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So how do you, I guess the question, said another way, how do you get to them? I mean, how do you influence early enough those young women before they make a wrong decision? That's a question you could ponder during the break. Okay, we'll let you think it through. 9:19 in the morning, you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We'll be right back.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Myers Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. We're talking about some relevant issues during this month of January. And one of the things that's very important that's happening is this bus trip to our nation's capital to mark the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. During the break, you were telling us an interesting story about a young woman who went on the trip last year. Could you tell our listeners?
Yeah, last year, this year we have 8 buses of youth and college students and young adults going, so we're really excited. Last year, I was talking to one of the students from one of the colleges, and she was pro-choice but liked a boy that was going on the March to Life to Washington, D.C., so she signed up for the trip, and I think the boy ended up not being able to go, and so this girl went on the trip pro-choice and came back pro-life. She had such a great conversion experience. So,
you know, you mentioned earlier that you have to present these attitudes to people over and over again, and that was a good thing to hear. You know, that we can't give up if we speak to someone and they're not instantly converted, because we probably wouldn't be converted, you know, immediately either. And so the notion that we need to keep coming back and be patient with people, I think, is very helpful.
And choose your words well. You know, I think there's one thing, you know, we could say pro-abortion, you know, oh, you're pro-abortion, but that will close off the conversation. It's a highly charged word,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think I said that before, so
yeah,
I apologize
and then,
for that.
And then the pro-choice. No, but if you're talking to someone who
you're right. You're absolutely right.
For legalized abortion, you know, call them pro-choice. You know, but even though you know, okay, yeah, that is really pro-abortion technically, but if you're trying to convert them and trying to convince them to be on our side, you know, start with some words that are softer, you know, more persuasive.
What could we do to bring those that are on our side, on the pro-life side, to become better advocates for the case? Because as we talked earlier in the program, that population tends to be quiet about it. They tend to be strong in their support of pro-life, but they're not out there like the other side is out there. Countercultural, yes, but it's still a really important component, not only of the Catholic Church, but a position that is not insignificant in our society today. What can we do to...
Well, what we have for each parish is supposed to have a parish respect life coordinator and a committee. And those people, we help to train them and equip them to speak out to minister in their parishes on the life issues from, you know, from conception until natural death, everything in between. So even the, you know, the death penalty, to be able to minister on that, to educate. So, you know, we're doing a lot more. We have conferences, we have trainings, we have meetings where we constantly are trying to equip them with the information. But now we're moving into spiritual formation, and that's something I learned through the lay ministry program at Mundelein, that we do need that spiritual formation if we're going to be going out and trying to minister to people in the parishes. So you we're know, doing that now for the coordinators.
Speaking of the spectrum of life issues, I've been very excited to read in the papers over the past week that the Illinois House and Senate have passed a bill to ban the death penalty. That is really exciting, because if we really believe in the seamless fabric, we can't just defend life at the beginning, but we need to defend it at all its stages. Talk a little bit about the Catholic position towards the death penalty.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to be consistent, we need to respect all life, even the criminal. And how do we even know if that person received equal, you know, justice? And we look at how many, you know, those who
oftentimes,
were
even if they were really
death
guilty.
Row, yeah, there's a number of people who were on death row in Illinois who were found to be innocent. And that's pretty scary to possibly kill someone. You know, of course, we don't want to kill anyone unless it's in self-defense, obviously. I mean, church teaching, you know, but we never want to kill anyone. We want to we respect all human life. So, but the church is really excited about this, that we have a chance here. Now, the governor, it's in his lap right now, on his desk, and he has an opportunity to sign this and make it a law, the law of the land. Okay.
What are the prospects? Is he leaning in this direction?
You know, it sounded like he was just for the moratorium when he was running, you know, so during the election. You know, we don't really know, but we can call his office. And so if you can't find his number, definitely give our office a call, and we'll get you that number. It's 312-534-5355.
That's your number.
Yes. And because I don't know the governor's number offhand, you know. I should have came prepared for that. Or the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and you could call them at 312-368-1066, and they can help you find that number. But the bishops of Illinois are so happy about this and are praying that the governor does sign it, because it says here, quote, "This important legislation advances the development of a culture of life in our state, a state that remains a haven for those who kill unborn children." That was the bishop's statement, the Illinois bishops put together.
We have a new year. We have a new Congress in Washington. And one of the things that your office does, I know with the Illinois Catholic Conference, is kind of look ahead to legislation that may be coming down the tracks that could be potentially something we want to take as Catholics a position on. What do you see on the horizon? Anything coming up?
Well, I mean, the big thing is Catholic Conference focuses on Illinois. Yeah. So when we're looking at the state level, we're not necessarily in a good position because we're really not a pro-life state right now. But we are in terms of, when you look at this death penalty bill, it's a big victory for life. And it's a small step that we can go in the right direction. I'm not sure if we're going to be on the defensive again this year, like in many years, or if we're going to be able to put something forward like an ultrasound act, a bill that where if you're going for an abortion, you're required, they're required to show you or offer you an ultrasound picture. And that could help make a woman decide to choose life.
I know that you're going to be counting on the prayers of various groups around the Archdiocese as you head off to Washington, D.C. to mark the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Tell us a little bit about those vigils.
Basically, we have parishes around the Archdiocese praying, and we have different vigils, different formats, but basically they're holy hours, you know, with Eucharistic adoration, benediction, all of that, all the bells and whistles, right? And they're praying for a culture of life. And all around that January 22nd anniversary, and we'll probably have anywhere from 25 to 30 this year.
If someone wants to put together a vigil at their parish, could they call you for help?
Yes, definitely.
Give us your number again.
312-534-5355.
Thanks, Margie Breen, the new director of the Respect Life office here, and Emily Warpinski, young adult outreach coordinator. Continued good luck in all your terrific work. And remember the Mass for Life with Cardinal George coming up this Saturday, tomorrow, 5 p.m. at St. Mary the Angels here in Chicago. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. We'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. Graziano Marcheschi and Wayne Magyars. Grateful that you've chosen to spend this hour of your morning with us. We like to bring you good news about things happening within the Church of Chicago. And one of the good things that's going on is an initiative of the Sisters of St. Joseph of LaGrange, the good sisters who taught me when I was in grade school,
right?
As a matter of fact.
Wow.
Yeah,
and look at how you turned out.
And look,
so they've got
look at the amazing job they did.
They've got to be good.
They took this little immigrant boy who showed up, the principal who was running the school that I first arrived to when I was 8 years old, is still living. Sister Thomas Agnes.
Okay.
And she loves to tell the story about these two little boys in their short pants that their Italian mother brought in, and thinking, what am I going to do with these two boys?
Wow.
So they figured out.
We should have her on the show sometime and hear about the real Graziano Marcheschi.
But the Sisters of St. Joseph have created a traveling tutoring bus that goes to places throughout the metropolitan area and helps people to primarily learn English as a second language. So we want to welcome to the program this morning Debbie Brandt, who is the director of School on Wheels, a one-on-one tutoring program that is, as I said, an initiative of the Sisters of St. Joseph. Welcome, Debbie.
Well, thank you for having us. It's great to be here. We are with, actually at the summit location in St. Blaise right now, and I have a couple of tutors that are with us, and a student who is going to probably talk to you, too.
Wonderful. You've got Mary Perrantot.
Yes, and Rita Strecker is also here. Mary's student, Susanna Ochoa, is also with us.
Well, why don't you start off by telling us how this initiative got started? Whose brainchild was this?
It was established in 1993. The sisters, there was a study done, and they were trying to determine what the how to help the students. And the main thing was that they didn't have childcare, or lack of transportation, or lack of money. So Sister Mary Beth was actually the director of the program for 15 years, and she started the bus going. Hodgkins was the first location that we went to, and she had gotten this bus from, it was a converted, the original bus was a converted bookmobile that they got from the Arlington Heights Library, and our bus is, we got a new bus about a little less than 8 years ago. So we've got a really fancy special one now that holds has 10 stations for students, and then our partners in Summit and the different areas will go to if we have more than 10 people, which we always do each hour or most hours, they can go into the partnering location. Right now we're in the basement of the school at St. Blaise.
Okay, Debbie, I'm struck by the fact that you have over 300 tutors involved in this. Where do they come from?
Well, they come from all over. In fact, one of our tutors, a husband and wife tutor, they came about 3 years ago, and they recently retired to New Buffalo, Michigan, and they're still coming back to tutor their husband and wife students.
Okay.
In Hodgkins.
How do the students of which there are about 500 now, how do they get plugged into the opportunities that exist with this School on Wheels? How do they find out about it?
Well, it's mainly word of mouth once they hear about it. We don't do a lot of advertising. When we opened this a new site in Cicero, we did advertise, and we got over 200 calls that week, so we don't really need to advertise. They kind of find us, although we do put up brochures in the areas where we are, but it's mainly word of mouth.
You know, Chicago is rich in cultures, and many of the people who have come here from other countries don't speak English when they get here. And that can become problematic, but I firmly believe that most people want to learn English. The problem is, as you mentioned a little while ago, is sometimes the opportunities just aren't there. And your service is obviously providing a lifeline that otherwise might just be completely lacking for these people.
Oh, exactly. We do have over 20 countries represented, but the majority of our students are from Mexico, and about 90% are Spanish speakers.
Mary Perrantot, how did you get involved with the School on Wheels program?
Oh, here, hold on. I'll put her on.
Good morning. How are you? This is Mary Perrantot.
Good morning, Mary. Thanks for being with us. The question was, how did you first get involved in School on Wheels? And tell us about how that experience as a teacher in this environment is different from a traditional classroom environment.
Okay, I think I saw something either in a local paper or maybe a posting at my local public library. And I am still working, but I've moved down to part-time, and so I'm a person that loves language. And I really wanted to do something, you know, more active since I wasn't working full-time. So I actually went for a training session, and I am a teacher in respect that I am an RN, but I've never been an educator in terms of, you know, not a certified teacher. So I'm coming from it. I came to this from a little bit of a different perspective, but I just love it. I feel that as a teacher, that I'm probably benefiting as much or more than my students.
Yeah. Mary, how long might you be with a particular student? I would imagine that, especially teaching English, at some point the student gets comfortable enough in the language to kind of go out on their own and complete perfecting the language. But you've been with the program now for how long?
I have been with the program for 5, going on 6 years.
Okay.
And the student that's with me this morning we've been together for 5 years.
Okay, great. And that's Susanna, right?
That is Susanna.
Great.
We'll talk to Susanna right after we come back from a break. You're listening to Relevant Radio AM 950. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Okay, fine.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back. Wayne Magyars and Graziano Marcheschi with you on Catholic Community of Faith for a Friday morning. Talking with Debbie Brandt, who is the director of the School on Wheels. Also, Mary Parenteau, the teacher for School on Wheels, and one of their students, which we'll get to in a minute, Susanna Arcoa, who has been with the program for about 5 years. And the ministry is sponsored by the Congregation of the Sisters of St. Joseph of LaGrange Park, a school bus, if you will, formerly a bus that was used as a bookmobile for the Arlington Heights Library that has been retrofitted, and we're looking at actually a website picture of it now, which really helps a number of students over the years since 1993 to learn English as a second language. Students represented from over 20 countries. Many of them are Hispanic. The average age of the tutors, of which there are about 300 involved, is 61 years old. And Susanna, you've been
I think they need to pitch this idea to a producer and turn this into a TV show. School on Wheels.
I like it. I like it.
It'd be a great children's show.
Yeah, it would. It would. Susanna, how long have you been you've been a student for 5 years in the program, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And how's it going? What's it like learning English on wheels?
Okay. I came here because one of my friends told me they opened the door for everybody for their English. That's why I decided to come here And I learned English a little because the first time when I came, I was very nervous. But now I have a beautiful teacher. She has a lot of passion. And she said, okay, take your time. Everything will be okay. And, you know, she made me very, very trust to learn English.
And Mary is your teacher, right?
Yes.
Okay. And how often do you meet with Mary? How often do you meet with Mary? Is that, are you with her a couple of days a week or?
No, I know her for the last 5 years.
Okay.
And I know her because when Mary Parenteau was here, she decided to give me Mary Parenteau for teacher.
Okay.
That's why I know her.
Okay.
Well, you're very brave to come on the radio and demonstrate the wonderful progress that you've made. Now, I encourage you to listen to the radio and watch television. That's how I learned to speak English. TV and radio taught me English. So watch those good programs, and you'll be fluent in no time.
Okay. I watch TV in English.
Good.
And sometimes I hear the radio when I have that time. I hear the radio in English, too. It improves my English learning, you know?
It does help you?
Yes, a lot.
Good. Yeah, that's what I figured. That's wonderful.
Well, Susanna, keep up the good work and stay with Mary because she's doing a terrific job. Your English is coming along very nicely.
Oh yes, she helped me a lot about learning English.
All right. You know, while Grazio and I are looking at the next segment for the program, you can pass the phone back to Debbie Brandt for a moment.
Okay.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie is the director of the School on Wheels, and one of the questions that inevitably comes up when you look at a program like this that helps so many people, Debbie, is how do you pay for it? So talk a little bit about what you look to for support to keep this program going.
You know why? I try to tell some of my friends, Debbie's here to take an application for them. And they can come to do an application for come to the school, and she will help because she's a very nice person, and she take the time for them for see if they have a teacher willing to teach English, you know?
Right.
But she worked very hard, you know? I like her because she understands everything. And she is a very nice person.
Okay, well, thank
Wonderful.
You. Thank you, Susanna.
And could we talk to Debbie now, please?
Okay, let me pay for. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And we were talking earlier about the amount of time and effort not only that goes into implementing and executing a program like this, Gratz, but the fact that at some point someone's got to pay the bills to fill the gas tank on the bus and work with the tutors and generate all the additional supplies that are needed. So Debbie, where does your support come from to keep this program going?
Well, our main sponsor, of course, is the Congregation of St. Joseph in LaGrange Park. However, we do get a grant from the Secretary of State's office for some of the expenses. We are trying to, in fact, we have such good partners, you know, that we can work with in their locations. Like here, we're in the basement in Summit. So to save money this year, we do not take the bus to this location because we do need to pay the bus drivers and to drive, and of course the cost of the gas, which is astronomical again. So we are subsidized mainly. We get a lot of generous donations from the tutors. We're having a couple of fundraisers this year. Last year we had a benefit at the Theater of Western Springs, and we will have one again in June. And then we're also going to have a benefit party. So we do a lot of fundraising too for the school.
You know, I've often thought that every parish that has a bilingual community ought to be sponsoring English as a second language classes. I think we as an archdiocese could and should take the initiative to help people learn the language of the country that they've adopted. I'm amazed that I had never heard about School on Wheels until today. I can't believe that it's been going since 1993. It's an amazing effort that you all have put together.
Well, we go to six different locations, and none of them are in Chicago. Actually, the closest to Chicago is probably Summit, and we're also in Cicero. So we go to three locations in Cook County and three in DuPage County.
Tell us about some of the partners that you work with. I'm really struck by the fact that you park in a Target parking lot or next to a Burger King, and that they open up their facilities for you to do spillover work if you don't have room on the bus and to use their restrooms. Tell us a little bit about how that all developed.
Well, I only came in 2008, but so most of these partnerships are long-standing relationships. In fact, Hodgkin's is our longest partner, we've been actually in the Target parking lot since 1993. We have changed our locations a few times. We have a new location as of last January in Villa Park. We're at the North School. And they allow us to use the faculty lounge or their computer room. They just are, everybody is fantastic helping us. Our libraries, we're really thrilled because a lot of the libraries are coordinating with us, and we're advertising for them, and they advertise for us for tutors. And one of the librarians in Summit is actually going to be a tutor. She's coming to our training session, which is tomorrow, our second training session, if anybody's out there and wants to be a tutor from 9 to 3 at the Congregation of St. Joseph Center in LaGrange Park.
Great. And we'll be sure we get a telephone number and a website before we finish, but we've got to take a quick break. We're talking with Debbie Brandt, Mary Parenteau, and Suzanne Arcourt, who is a student with the School on Wheels, a Congregation of St. Joseph of LaGrange Park Mission. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. It's Friday morning, and the big, long weekend is coming up. Got any plans, Wayne?
Not too many, but if the good Father Greg was here, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that the Bears are playing the Seattle Seahawks
big
on
game.
Sunday at 12 o'clock. Big game. Be
Michael
there.
May is wearing his Bears sweatshirt over there. He's
fully
a big
in uniform.
Fan.
He's ready. He's ready.
Yeah. Well, we're talking this morning with some folks who are involved with an initiative of the Congregation of the Sisters of St. Joseph in LaGrange, and it is School on Wheels. It's an amazing thing that, unfortunately, we had never heard of, but it's been going since 1993, and it brings tutoring programs throughout the metropolitan area, Cook and Lake Counties, a bus that's equipped with 10 stations, bringing 10 tutors to work with 10 individual students, primarily helping them with English skills and preparing them to take the GED and even for citizenship tests. It's a wonderful and prophetic effort that the Sisters of St. Joseph have put together. And we want to welcome to the program right now Rita Strecker, who is a tutor with the School on Wheels. Welcome, Rita.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your experience as a tutor with this wonderful program.
Well, I've been with the program for 5 years. I tutor in both the Cicero and the Summit locations, and it's been a really rewarding experience for me. I'm a retired teacher, and I saw this as a way to continue to be involved in education in a place where there was definitely a need. And I have received so many, you know, personal rewards from this. It's just been a very rewarding experience for me.
As a former teacher, Rita, tell us how the students are they similar to the students that you've come across in your previous experience, or is this a really special group that has unique needs by you being able to come to them?
Well, it's very different because everyone who comes here really wants to learn, and that's not always the case in a, you know, public classroom or any classroom. They come here by choice, and I find that the women and men who come here are really dedicated to trying to learn English and better themselves, and they are so appreciative. They look at the tutors as, you know, people who can really be a influence on them, and they're just so appreciative of the work that we do, and that in itself is very rewarding.
Rita, is there any particular student that you've taught or an experience that you've had that stands out in your mind?
Well, one in particular, I have a student that I've had for several years, and she told us last year that she had an incident where she went into a store and she was overcharged for what she bought, and she got in the car and she looked at her bill and realized she had been overcharged by about $20. Mm. And she walked back into the store praying the whole time that the manager would speak Spanish, and he did not. But she was able to explain to him that she had been overcharged and get her money back. Mm. And she told us that had that been a year before, she would have just let it go because she did not have the confidence to do that. And that's so heartening to us to see the confidence build in the students as they learn English and, you know, can speak in stores and, you know, with
their
neighbors.
I bet it's an especially gratifying kind of work because as a teacher, I'm sure you know that normally teachers plant seeds that don't come to full bloom till many years later. But when you're teaching someone English, you see the progress almost immediately, don't you?
Right, that's correct. And this particular student has become very active in her community. She's on the school advisory board. She helps her neighbors. She's become like the neighborhood translator. So it's a very rewarding experience to see the growth in the students.
Well, Rita, continued success and keep up the great work as a tutor for this program. You're doing marvelous work. You and the many other tutors that are involved in the program. If you could hand the phone over to Debbie for one last question as we wrap up here this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. School on Wheels, which is the initiative of the Congregation of St. Joseph of LaGrange, and Debbie Brandt is the director. Debbie, a sure sign that this program is working is the fact that you recently saw your first student actually now becoming a tutor. We've got a minute and a half. Tell us about it.
We have been working on that as a goal because we're finding that a lot of our students are doing so well in the program because it is, you know, tailored to suit their needs, and we have more and more students wanting to study for the GED or for citizenship, and they're, you know, nearing the end of how we can help them. And actually, we should, you know, we're really, our focus is on people, you know, to get them with survival skills, English, and when they reach that point, we would like, you know, to move them into the community college or, you know, elsewhere so we can make room for the students that are more in need. So I put out a letter this year asking if the tutors would be able to, if some of the students would be able to come to the training session, and two out of the three that I asked actually are coming.
Before we run out of time, Debbie, give us a phone number and a website.
Oh, good. The website is schoolonwheels.com.
School on Wheels.com.
School on Wheels.com.
And the address, phone
just
number?
A phone number, yes,
phone
please.
Number 708-482-5060.
482-5060, 78 area code. Well, we want to thank Debbie Brandt for the wonderful work that you, together with the Sisters of St. Joseph, are doing. It's a visionary thing, and we applaud you for it. We want to thank our producer, Diane Dunnigan, our engineer, proud Bears fan, Michael May, and I'm Graziano Marcheschi with Wayne Magyars, thanking you most of all for tuning in today. God bless you. Have a great long weekend.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.